dial the area code and number you are calling. Thank you for using AT&T.
Thank you for calling MCI. Our system indicates you are calling from 602-222-2222. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1. If not, press 2.
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Candace is going bye-bye.
You are listening to Radio Freak America.
You filthy criminals.
Okay, this is a first for Radio Freak America. We're recording in the morning. It's like Sunday morning. And this is a special show. I'm joined by Mary Chan.
Hello.
Thanks for getting up early. Super early for you, huh?
No problem.
You rock, by the way. Okay. Since you're on the show, we're going to talk a little anime and gaming near the end. I feel kind of funky. I feel like different, you know? I'm recording in the morning. Let me turn on my security camera here. Okay. I feel it's weird, it's different. It's a much different feeling. Okay, again, Mary Chan's here. We're going to talk some anime and some gaming, probably near the end of the show. First thing I want to do is answer a couple of emails right now. First, I know everybody knows about this. I'm not going to go into it deep, very deeply right now, but the FBI arrests Russian student accused of stealing secret DirecTV documents. Apparently he was working at a law firm. He had access to a bunch of DirecTV stuff. He distributed the information on the web, and he's getting busted under some like industrial espionage law. So, yeah, basically big companies are saying, hey, you can't do this to us, and big stuff. So I'm not going to go into it anymore. There's news about it all over the place. Check it out. Read into it. Find out what's happening to this guy. Back to what I started with, I want to answer a couple of emails on the air. First, encrypted correspondence. If you go to the Agents of Freedom page, the crew page, you'll notice that a few of us have our PGP public keys posted. For me, all my email is web-based, so I don't use an email client. So for me, here's what I do with encryption. I use Linux, and at the command line, I create a document, a message, and then I encrypt it at the command line, and then I attach it. And that's how you're going to have to send your encrypted information to me. I don't know if you can do that in Windows. You can probably do it in OS X, but if you're using Linux, go ahead and make a message. Use gedit, kwrite, vi, whatever. Make your message, encrypt it at the command line, send it as an attachment, and that will help me because I'm dumb and I don't use an email client. Next, I received an email, and it said, can you send me the crack for Black Hawk Striker? Thanks later. Well, no, I can't. I'm assuming Black Hawk Striker is a game. I've never played it. I actually don't have any crack games. I don't have any crack software, period. Everything I have, I've paid for, is free. Most of it's free and or open source. So, does that sound funny? That's probably pretty rare, actually. But it's true. If I can't buy it or can't get it for free, I don't use it. I have no need for it, probably. And games, trust me, and we're going to talk about this later, you can get good games dirt cheap. Am I right?
I
Hell yeah, see? So we'll talk about that later. So no, sorry, I can't send you the crack for Blackhawk Striker. Nothing wrong with that. If you want to crack games, hey, do it, man. That's cool. So at the end, we'll talk about some gaming and some anime news. Ah, 2 days ago, the 2600 meetings. This was I went to a great meeting on Friday. It was phenomenal. It was huge. It was a huge meeting as far as meetings go. And there was some leak shit going on. Blocking 911 with a Siemens phone set. Hacker was coding Apple II assembly on a Sony Clié, you know, on a little Palm device. Custom Wi-Fi antennas. Somebody brought free, you know, computer science textbooks and were giving them out. It was great, you know. Technology was swapping hands. Good stories being told. It was a great, great meeting. I was talking to one hacker, and he said something about an OC84, you know, and from the context of the conversation, I knew it was an optical link, it was a fat pipe. I didn't know how much it was, you know, and I was kind of embarrassed. I didn't ask. You know what? I should have asked. You should have, believe me, and then this is for everybody. And you know what happens to me? It happens to everybody. If you don't know something, it's going to happen a lot. It happens to me all the time. If you don't know something, don't be embarrassed. Don't be proud. Ask. That's what these meetings are for. You know, there's no shame in asking a question. I didn't know how big an OC84 was. And I should have asked right there. You know, again, from the context, I knew what it was. I knew he was talking about a fat pipe. So believe me, you go to these meetings. You don't know as much. You don't even have to use Linux. You know, go and learn. That's what they're there for, and meet some cool people. And believe me, we talked about more things than just technology. You know, we talked. Well, is this offensive, Mary Sam? We talked about chicks. Is that there was a woman there, of course, but
It depends what we talked about. It could count as degrading, but not offensive.
we weren't like, yeah, we tie them up and beat them. No, we were just, you know. You know how guys talk about, probably just the same way girls talk about guys. How about chicks? Is the word chicks bad?
Depends on who you're using it in front of.
Really? So if I called you a hot chick, would that be offensive?
Possibly. It really depends on the terms. Like if I was a professional business associate and you were a coworker,
right.
You were like, yes, look, my hot chick over here, you know, something like that. That'd be considered unprofessional.
Okay, that I totally understand. All right. And I will try to respect that. So the meeting was great. I mean, there was some awesome, awesome stuff there. There was even people that were interested in phones. One hacker, just off the top of his head, busted out the frequencies for Redbox tones. And I didn't, shit, I don't know that. But he off the top of his head, oh yeah, they're this and this. I'm like, holy moly. Yeah, there's some fully leaked shit going on. So, and I was very happy that people were digging phones, especially the blocking any phone number, including 911 with the Siemens phone set, manuals brought in and everything. There were some awesome, awesome hackers and some awesome hacks going on there. So I hope you went to your meeting and I hope you enjoyed it. If not, make your own meeting, meet with one of your buddies, make some phone calls. I was trying to call the Chicago meeting, but his phone was off. Hold on. I just said, oh man, I just had Captain Crunch. This is in the morning. We're doing a morning show, dude. This is weird. I feel like one of those morning news shows. I have a cup of coffee. Hi, good morning, everybody. We've got the weather report coming up. Slipping on my coffee. Great, great meeting. There is also something phenomenal that came out of this meeting. You know, I'm always saying, make a show. We need more media, stuff like that. Well, guess what? There is one. A hacker named Slip Mode made a show in the past. I think he started in 2001 sometime. And I guess it was on hiatus, but at this meeting, he busted out, hey, there's going to be a new show. He's going to start redoing the show, and the show is called In the Now, and you can find it at slipnet.org, slipnet.org, and the guy runs it as Slip Mode, and I listened to about half the first episode already, and it was really good. I mean, it's highly intellectual talk, man. I mean, these guys are smart. Not like us, where we talk about a bunch of crap. That's probably me. It's all my fault, you know, and phones. But it's a good show. Check it out, slipnet.org. The show's called In the Now. And he also has something else in the works. I don't know. I'm not going to tell everybody right now. I'll let him do that in his own time. But he told us all about it at the meeting. So it's pretty big stuff. And I hope everything goes well for him. So check that out, In the Now at slipnet.org. We got two slips now, if I call them slips. Slipping away in slip mode. Now, I think I'll work
that out. Maybe slip is an overused word he put in. Sort of like, I don't know, sort of like how people, like, in the Star Trek world, like, you know, continuously put, like, I don't know, captain in front of their name or something, you know?
Do they do that?
You know, I honestly don't know exactly.
You know a lot of Trekkies?
They're overused, though, in the anime world, you know? It's always something weird, like Chibi-Neko Bukake-chan or something.
Chan. Hey, you got Chan in your name.
I know. That's me.
Okay, now I want to get... Oh, no! Oh, I can't... Oh, there it is. All right.
Forgot to reset the record button. Again.
No, I'm recording. But I was... What? I was. Oh, yeah, and this, thank you for reminding me. Did you hear last week's show?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, it was a great show. Technically, it was bad, especially the beginning and the end. What I was doing, and I was just doing it now, and I shouldn't have, what I was doing was screwing with stuff on my computer while we were recording, and what it did is it skipped audio. So, you know, it would basically choke when I was doing something, you know, opening a window, closing windows, whatever, and we would lose audio and it would jump. And it was horrible. It was really bad. So I'm sorry to everybody. You know, in the previous weeks, man, every show for like 4 or 5 weeks, I'll let, you know, the guys are funny, you know, you're funny, you make me laugh, and I'll blow into the mic, or I'll pop my peas, and it sounds really bad. I got to do something about that, too. I don't know, buy a windscreen or something. So, yeah, last week was bad with that skipping audio. And that was the worst I think it's ever been. I've had it happen like once, maybe, but that last week was really bad, so... And I was just doing it. I was just screwing around, so I got to make sure I don't screw around with anything. Just record.
I don't know. I mean, you ever heard the old school shows?
Oh yeah, well, dude. Oh yeah, but they were on a freaking Pentium 133, and I'm still using the same $10 mic. Somebody at the meeting said I should get one of the USB mics. That it might help us out. So maybe I'll do that. But it's like $30. Maybe I'll drop the coin if that'll help. I know it's cheaper than buying like a professional mixing board and a bunch of good mics. I don't need a bunch of good mics. It's just me. Everybody else is over the phone. Okay. It's time right now for... That's right. Freak news. What do we got today? Let's start out with AT&T Wireless $6 billion bet. That's right. Starting Tuesday. When was this? This is from... this is New Year's Eve. Starting Tuesday, AT&T Wireless has exactly 2 years to roll out NTT Docomo's new wireless network on a revised schedule, and $6.2 billion in AT&T Wireless stock says it will be on time. That's right. AT&T Wireless is going to roll out the 3G Docomo network, WCDMA, in 13 of the top 50 wireless markets by June 30, 2004, or they have to buy back, $6.2 billion in stock. So that is huge, and they're betting big time. The cities are, let's see, they can do a city swap, but where are the cities? I couldn't find my highlighter, so. Wideband, Code Division, Multiple Access, yes. Well, I can't find it. Oh, here it is. AT&T will launch at least 1,000 cell sites in San Francisco, Seattle, Dallas, and San Diego by December 31st, 2004. So Japan's largest telecom, NTT Docomo, has got a big investment. They're going to get their big 3G system here in the States. I guess there could be a city swap as well if they want to. Another amendment to the deal grants AT&T Wireless the right to swap cities should current plans not pan out. Dallas could be replaced by Miami or Detroit, while San Diego could be replaced by either one of those two cities, Phoenix or Houston. So this is big-time stuff. AT&T Wireless is really, really betting hard on this 3G stuff. So I hope it goes down. I hope they're successful. Especially in Phoenix, that'd be nice. That'd be really nice for the meetings. Get to screw around with some new stuff. Next, again, I think this is from New Year's Eve. We recorded before I got all this news. We recorded New Year's Eve and streamed New Year's Day. Let's see. Quest Communications to cut 320 jobs in 5 states. Yes. Quest Communications International has notified union officials that it plans to cut 320 jobs in 5 states, including 150 positions in Colorado, where they're based in Denver, in the next 3 months. Oh, damn, Captain Crunch. The phone company's management said Monday the cuts in Colorado, Wyoming, Nebraska, Iowa, and Utah are a response to weak demand for phone service. Interesting. I wonder if people are switching over to wireless and not Quest wireless.
That's why, in my opinion. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go down to Mexico and employ like 300 people there because it's so much cheaper.
You think so? They'll just make a call center in Mexico? Yeah. The company said it hopes to achieve the cuts through attrition. Boy, does that mean killing people? And other voluntary measures, but might have to resort to layoffs to reach the targeted number. Quest employs 53,000 people, including 14,500 in Colorado. Some analysts said the company will need to make additional cuts in 2003 unless the economy dramatically improves soon. Unless there's a pickup in demand for basic phone service, it could portend more, said Tom Friedberg of Janco Partners in Denver. Lou Ellingson, a spokesman for the Communication Workers of America Union, predicted that few of the 320 cuts will come through voluntary departures. I wouldn't think so. Want to get that unemployment. So Quest laying off a bunch of people. I feel sorry for them, you know. I wonder how many were there when it was still U.S. West and have seen this happen, and now they're getting laid off. I mean, just think of the bitterness that will be created, that there's no phonetic way to say this, you know, questspelledbackwards.com. That side will probably get a lot more patrons after this happens. I don't have phone numbers for you this week, for everybody. What I've got is a website. Now, if you're like me, you know, wherever you go, you're looking at the payphones, you're looking at courtesy phones, you're looking at the phones you're not supposed to touch, hanging on the walls and hanging on columns and shit. And a lot of times you run into TTYs. And let's say you don't have your freak notebook with you, so no freak notebook and a TTY, and you can't remember the numbers. Oh man, you don't have a TTY number to call. Well, guess what? I've got the website for you. You print this out and you keep it with you, stuff it in your freak notebook, and don't forget your freak notebook. This is the Relay and TTY phone numbers page from Accessible.com. The website is www.access-able.com/relay.html. It's a great, great page. It's just a huge list of government and hotel and telco services and states. Everything you can think of. Actually, I printed it out, and it's basically four pages of TTY numbers, 800 numbers. It's just phenomenal. So this is a really, really good four pages to fold up and carry around with you. And again, the website is www.access-able.com/relay.html. Great webpage. Print it out. Carry it with you. You know, and that's what I think. You know, that's one of the joys I get from phone freaking, is that, you know, people have, you know, they've got troubles, they need to find some information, they don't know where to go, they're stuck somewhere, and guess what? You and a phone, baby, you solve all the problems right there. Freaks are very resourceful. Hackers and freaks are very resourceful. You know, people get, again, they got troubles, they need some information, you know, when's the movie, I don't know where to go, who do I talk to? Well, guess what? All I need is a phone, baby, and I can figure out and we can get you where you're going, get that information you need. And that's the fun, man. And you can solve problems that have nothing to do with the phone, you know, nothing at all. But you can solve them with the phone. It's amazing. That's what I've been finding, and it's fun. It's fun helping people. So, freaks are resourceful, and this is another resource. access-able.com/relay.html. Check that out, and it's good stuff. That's the freak news. Oh, man. Oh, maybe I'll just play this. You know what? I'm just going to play this for everybody. What the hell? Hold on. This is some audio from the meeting. It was kind of funny. Hold on. Let me see if I can do it.
We hold it on the same day, 2600 meeting.
Come on. Oh, this thing sucks.
Did you hear that?
No, they will. Hold on. They'll hear it. You won't be able to hear it, because I'm going to play it right into the mic. But they should be able to. Let me turn up just... Actually, that should be good. All right, here you go, everybody. A little audio.
Yes, this is Duel, and I'm at the Hackers Anonymous meeting. We hold it on the same day as the 2600 meeting. There's a lot of ex-hackers trying to kick the habit here at the Hackers Anonymous meeting. This is Zapper.
My name's Zapper, and I've been off the hack for about 20 days now.
Way to go, Zap. Let's hear it for Zap. Me,
trying to stay on my medication.
Hackers are trouble people, man. Kick the hack. Kick the hack. Did you hear it?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, so that was some funny audio from the meeting. That was a great, great meeting. I can't stress enough to go out and hang with other hackers, other freaks, man. It's so much fun. It is so much fun. When did we start recording? I don't know. I think we're like 15 minutes into it.
Probably.
Uh-oh. I hope you got a lot of anime and gaming to talk about.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, good. Woo! I do have something at the end to talk about, too, so... By the way, you are right, and I put this on the Stank Dog forums. You are right. Oh, before I forget, at Slipknot.org, they've got forums there, and the guys that hang there, like Bob and Slip Mode, they know Linux like you wouldn't believe. So if you've got troubles, you got problems, go there. It's a great place to get help. You know, no flame, right? Flame proof forums. Go ask questions there. They got good forums. Check it out at Slipknot.org. And something I posted on Stank's message boards, he's got a little anime section there. You know what? Tech TV, this is what I was going to talk about last week. Tech TV, again, like Stank, combining technology and anime with this anime section at the forums, Tech TV is combining technology and anime. They just started airing Anime Unleashed, and it's got, they're going to be airing, I think they're airing Crest of the Stars right now. They're going to have Lane. They're going to have Silent Mobius, which kind of sucks, which does suck. What else? I can't remember what else, but lots of anime lit, like late at night. So Anime Unleashed at Tech TV. Definitely check that out.
That's good. Do you still have the wall scroll I gave you?
I do. I just hung it up yesterday. I took it out of the living room, and now it's in my lab right next to the Ghost in the Shell wall scroll. Of course I still have that. I love it. So, I posted something on Stank's boards.
That an anime translation is not the Quran. It's not blasphemous.
that too, yes. About there's some good talk about dubs. I like there's a voice actor who I got a quote from who said, "Dubs aren't bad. Bad dubs are bad. Yeah, no, dubs don't suck. Bad dubs suck."
And my problem is, and this is what I observed from being a hardcore fan, which is you have two extreme opposite ends of the spectrum. Most of them on message boards. Most of them very annoying. You have people who see anything above Dragon Ball Z and go, "This sucks. What's the power levels? What's that Dragon Ball Z?" And you got other people who are even offended that your concert of anime being licensed could mean that'd be translated, and that'd be awful. How out there it's not in its original pure Japanese form. And this is something I hear honestly. All right. Which is, not all Japanese voice acting is wonderful. Just because it's in Japanese doesn't mean it's good acting. I've heard stuff where the dub's actually better because the actors are better, because there's a better director going there, you know?
Yeah. I totally agree.
I wanted to rant on that. I get annoyed, though, at the elitist dub. Oh, it's in Japanese, it has to be good.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what bugs me is they bring manga to the States, and they print it in its original Japanese form backwards, too, so you read it right to left. I don't want to do that. I want to read it the other way. Take the time.
Well, that's your own problem, I think. I can't help you there.
You think so? You like it like that?
No, actually, I'm Jewish, so I'm used to reading like that.
Really? Yiddish reads right to left?
Basically, if you were to spread out the map and you started from South America and you went all the way to Eastern Europe, you'd stop and everything there would be read left to right. But anything from Eastern Europe all the way into the East is read from right to left, actually. So.
Wow, look at the culture that we get on this show. I am just, wow. I'm flabbergasted. Yeah, so no, what I posted on Snake's forums was that Fruits Basket was good anime. And you turned me on to that, by the way. You turned me on to Fooly Cooly as well. They're both weird, but they're really, really good. And I posted that on Stank's forums because I thought, hey, I could say that I'm a guy and I like Fruits Basket, man. It's actually a really good anime. I was surprised. I was really surprised. And guess how I checked it out? There was like a video. I went into a video game store. We'll get to video games soon. And they had these DVDs with two episodes of Fruits Basket and then the voice actors, who are idiots, by the way.
Oh, that was horrible. And you know the only reason anyone's... All right, I'll be honest. I bought that one because, hey, you know, Fruit Basket's And I have a couple friends who are already into it. Hence, you know, I was like, okay, I trust their, you know, the judgment. I'll get into it. And it said on it, sneak preview of Dragon Ball GT, you know? I'm sure everyone bought it, and it's basically, and they're going to completely ignore a wonderful, cute anime, because, you know, where is the power-upping, you know?
Right.
Oh, and the voice actor's goofing off, it's not at all funny. I was like, oh, God, go away.
Yeah, they were dumb. They were really dumb. The chicks? Oh, pardon me. I'll say, who cares? The chicks were good-looking in it, though. I thought so. So, again, check out the anime forums at stinkdog.com. Check out Anime Unleashed on Tech TV. Anime's blowing up, man. We may have talked about the proposed cable channel that's all anime all the time. I don't know if we did, but that is still a possibility. Of course, Toonami on Cartoon Network. I just got cable again, and all I watch is Cartoon Network and Speed Vision, because I like international racing. Not NASCAR, no offense, Stank, but I just, you know, the left turn circuit just doesn't do it for me. You know, I'd like the Dakar Rally, stuff like that. So, Cartoon Network, baby, and I watch Toonami a lot. Let's talk about games. What's the latest game you've been playing?
Vice City?
No kidding.
Yeah.
On the PS2?
Yeah.
Now, that's the Miami one, right? The Grand Theft Auto in Miami?
Yeah, to me, it's very good, actually.
Now, is it totally, like, free roaming? You can go wherever you want, do whatever you want?
No, right, here's the deal, which is, I mean, the game gives you a standard plot to use. You know, you can go to people, get certain missions, do certain things, but the interesting part of the game is you're not obliged to. I consider it, like, the ideal game for the ADHD poster child, pretty much. Because you don't have to. I mean, the first time I wasn't too sure to do, so I just, like, wasted, like, you know, like, a full 2 hours just stealing cars, driving them till I blew them up, beating up random people on the street, stealing more cars, you know. Finally I got bored and, you know, started to follow the plot a little, but, you know, like I said, gives you a lot of freedom.
That's cool. That's what I want. I just want to be able to go and inflict random damage, random mayhem on a city. And you can do that, so you can do that, and the game won't care, it won't quit or stop as long as you don't die?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. That's very cool. And, of course, that's a game where you can get a hooker, do her, beat her up, and get your money back, right?
Yeah, you'd like that, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I would, in the video game, that is. I've been playing, and this ties right in with the cracking games and getting good games at a good price. You know, you can go into there's video game stores in the malls. I don't know the names of them. There's a couple of chains, you know. And there's one chain in particular has lots and lots of PC games. I mean, you've got a whole wall just full of boxes of PC games. And guess what? Some of these games are like $5, and they're good games. I bought a bunch of games for like $10, $20. In fact, I bought, first of all, I just, you know, I've got this new computer. It's fast enough actually to play a 3D game, right? So I was like, yeah, I could buy games. So I go buy cheap games. I bought Typing of the Dead for the PC. That is a blast, man. That is so much fun. From the Dreamcast, now on the PC for $10. That's fun. I bought Unreal Tournament, you know, and Quake 3. I bought those two 3D shooters, you know. I never had a chance to play. Everybody was playing them, you know, when it was big and popular. Of course, I didn't have a computer with any, you know, 3D acceleration, nothing. I had my laptop. It was a 266, and I can't play any games on that. Doom, maybe. So now I got this box. I'm getting all the games that everybody used to play, but they're $10 and they're a blast. Unreal Tournament is so much fun. Again, I got Quake 3 as well. Ooh, I'll touch on Quake 3 in a little bit. What else did I get? I think that's all. Hold on. Yeah, I think that's all I got. And I've been playing those games and they're a blast. So you can go and get games. You don't have to crack games. You can go get games. Remember, they're not the newest, hottest shit, but you can go get games for $5, $10, brand new, and play them, you know. Even if you played it like a weekend, you would get your money's worth, you know. That's not much more than rental. So definitely just take the time and you can get good games at good prices. You know what, I'm going to go ahead and touch on that Quake 3 again right now. At the meeting, Slip Mode actually turned me on to this. Actually, a few of the guys there are like hooked on this big time. They'll start playing this, what I'm going to talk about, and, you know, start blinking at 4 a.m. and, oh man, where'd the night go? It's called True Combat, and it is a Quake 3 mod, and it makes, and I just checked it out last night. I don't have the URL with me. I checked, not the game, I checked out the website. It's, again, called True Combat, and it's a mod for Quake 3, and it makes it totally, utterly realistic, apparently, where you can shoot through, you know, plaster walls, real bullet effects, real guns. It's, I believe it can be team-based. You know, you can't just run around and you know, shoot wantonly. You have to, you actually have to, you know, be stealthy and use skill. So apparently, and it's apparently really highly addictive. It's very popular from what I saw from the website. So check that out. It's True Combat, a Quake 3 mod. I don't have Quake 3 on my box right now. I'm going to put that on and get that mod. I think, see, I'm playing all my games on Windows on 8. They play it on Linux. So there's a .exe. There's a whole Windows installer for it. Again, they play it on Linux, so apparently it's just a blast. In fact, they were going to be playing that that night after the meeting. So check that out. True Combat for Quake 3. I love Unreal Tournament, man. I think Unreal Tournament is more fun than Quake 3. I've been playing that like you wouldn't believe. You know, it's weird. I was, and this happened before in other games. You know, I had this cheap black keyboard. I mean, dirt cheap, you know. What did I pay? $7 for something like that. And I would be playing games, and something would happen, and one of the controls would stick, and I would just, like, spin around in a circle, or I would continue to strafe, and it wouldn't stop. It happened to me with Half-Life, and you know what? It's bad to me, because it was the keyboard. I went and bought a new keyboard. I actually spent $30 and bought a decent keyboard, and guess what? All those problems went away. So it wasn't the games. It was my cheap-ass keyboard. I'm just, not that I'm cheap, it's just, you know, why spend a bunch of money on a, you know, Microsoft keyboard? I don't need a Microsoft keyboard. I just need something that'll type. But now that I'm playing games, I guess I need a little higher end stuff. So, you know, hey, spend the jack if you have to. There's something. What are you playing? Oh, Vice City. Do you play any PC games?
You know, actually, when I was younger, I played a ton of PC games, and now that actually. You know, it was back in the days when Windows was a lot more DOS-friendly, you know? I mean, you could just go over to DOS and play games with the DOS.
Right. Get the command line, launch it, and play. Yeah, like Doom.
Yeah.
Those were the days, man. You know, I was... Just last night, I was reminiscing about old games I used to play, and I was racking my brain thinking, what were my favorite games? And I touched on a few when we had the gaming special, Strip Poker. I found the screenshots for that, and yeah, it was just as good as it was back then. Strip Poker for the Commodore 64. I had a Commodore 128. Strip Poker. Bruce Lee. That was the greatest game ever. What else? Wizard of War, man. That was an arcade game. And then I did have it on the Commodore. Wizard of War, W-O-R. That game was a blast. That was so cool. Dude, just find those old games and play them. Let's see. Because there's emulators. There's emulators for everything, especially on Linux. So you can definitely stay in touch with your childhood. It's right here, man. You know, Panasonic, I have a GameCube, and apparently in Japan, I don't know, you may know this, Mary-Chan, but Panasonic makes a GameCube. It's called the Panasonic Q, and it is freaking awesome. It's like silver. It looks like it's metal. There's like a blue LCD on the top. I think the discs are fed from the front. You know, it doesn't pop up, and it's a top loader. It's a front loader, and it plays everything, every kind of disc you think of. Of course, GameCube games, DVDs, VCDs, MP3s. I think it just plays everything, and it's this awesome, cool little metal-looking box. And it's the Panasonic Q GameCube. And I've got a URL. I'll put it with the show notes or on the site. Actually, I saw it on kingcube.co.uk. It's a GameCube specialty site in the UK. Again, kingcube.co.uk, and look for this Panasonic Q GameCube. It's really cool. I'd love to get one. Just to have it, you know. That's just a, you know, gadget lover's dream right there. You got to have more anime and gaming stuff, man. It's special for you. What anime are you into right now?
You know, actually, I haven't watched anime for a while because basically I build what I watch around what comes out. It comes out and I get it. And in December, there was sort of a dry spell, actually, where nothing of real interest that I wanted to get has come out. So I haven't really seen anything new for about a month. My friends, however, are getting into some new stuff, actually. So what I've done is I'm ordering some episodes for myself to watch for that. Two things. The Creative Lane came out, the new series, actually. So I'm going to try to pick that up. It's called, Hi, Bonnie, Renmei, actually.
Which means what?
The English translation they got was a Charcoal Feather Federation.
Who? The what? The Charcoal Feather Federation?
Really? It's sort of a weird plot, actually.
Describe it.
Well, basically, the whole idea is about these, this weird city inhabited by these, inhabited by these people who aren't really human because they have halos and feathers, but they're not really angels because their wings are gray, actually. And it's from the Creature of Lane, so you know that has to be good.
Yeah, and or weird.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
The other one everyone keeps saying is really good, but I haven't had a chance to see it myself. It's called Witch Hunter Robin, and it's sort of dark, a little bit gothic, but it's supposed to be very good as well.
Cool. So I'm down with the goth. You know, everybody keeps pimping, and propping Helsing, and I think I rented it, and I saw, the first episode, maybe, and it sucked!
I guess I just see the whole thing. I mean, because here's my honest opinion, which is, I'm not into vampires. I think they're the most overrated thing ever. It's like, oh, vampires automatically makes it unique and sexy, you know? And everyone was into Helsing, and oh, Helsing's so good, you know? And I watched it, and I actually really liked it, and I've seen, most of the series up to now, and it actually gets a lot better, so you actually have to watch, the first volume, you know?
Right, okay.
Helsing, in general, has gotten mixed reviews, so I'm not like, oh my god, it's blasphemy, you don't like the angsty vampires, or, you know.
Angsty.
I'm sorry, I really sound awful right now.
That's okay, well, that's because you just woke up. This is, 12 hours before you usually wake up. Being the first ever morning show, man. This is so nuts, dude. This is really, really weird. I'm telling everybody right now, it's got a whole different feel. If you ever do a show, do it just like kicking a caffeine habit, man. You know, go ahead, pound your calf, and then get off it for a while, and then drop another one, and then you'll fly, right? Well, this is kind of the same thing. It's really weird. It's a whole different feel. Doing it at night, it's when the hackers come out, kind of like the sexy vampire thing, it's when the hackers play, and the freaks, and then getting up, early, and it's like Sunday morning, too. Maybe it's kind of blasphemous we're doing it on a Sunday morning. I definitely don't go to church. So we're doing a freaking hacker freak anime gaming show on a Sunday morning. It's really weird. I can't describe it. I want to, last week we talked about fear at the end of the show, about how fear sells. Well, I picked up, right before the meeting, there's some spy gadget stores in Arizona, and I went to one of these stores before the meeting, just to check it out, too bad. First time I've ever been there. Stuff's a little pricey. They got neat stuff, but a little pricey. They had some cool books, of course, anarchist cookbook, stuff like that, all the how to kill people with a toothpick and all those kind of things. But one really popped out of me, and it's called How to Screw the Post Office by Mr. Unzip. I don't know if he's... There was an article. I don't know why nobody remembers this. There was an article in 2600 about facking. I don't know if it was a history of facking or what, but about postal hacking. And maybe Mr. Unzip, he's got to be one of the guys that wrote this book, was in that article. Again, How to Screw the Post Office by Mr. Unzip. And you can, of course, get this book at Lupanix. Out of Washington, I believe. And, man, it was only like $9. Good book. It was great. I read it on the flight back. Great, great book. Well, guess what? Something struck me as I was reading. And you probably know what I'm going to get at right now. I'll skip to this certain paragraph. The interviewer asked the postmaster what would happen if someone tried to mail a letter with only a 29-cent stamp after the deadline. This, of course, after they raised postal rates. The postmaster said, some will get through, but the overwhelming majority will be sent back for additional postage. The postmaster also said not to use 29-cent stamps to pay your utility bills, because the utility companies would not accept them without proper postage. I looked at my friend Roy, this is the author speaking, I looked at my friend Roy and said, did you catch that? He just used a scare tactic. What a bunch of bullshit propaganda. Again, he just used a scare tactic. What a bunch of bullshit propaganda. Roy asked, do you think he's making that up? Of course, I snapped back. The post office is run by the federal government, and they have access to the best propaganda people in the business. They plant a lie in your mind and then use fear to build a wall around the lie so that you believe it. Once you believe the lie, you become a source of power for the propagandist using that lie. Aren't people too intelligent to be manipulated by propaganda, Roy asked. Most Americans will believe anything you tell them if you are convincing enough or in a position of authority that they respect and trust. Look at how many weekly tabloids are popular, I said. You have to understand the difference between beliefs and knowledge. Do you know the difference? I'm sure you're going to tell me, Roy said. Knowledge is truth, and facts based on logical evaluations. A belief is a state of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in something without evidence or proof. Well, Roy said, do something about it then. And then he goes on in the book and does something about it. He actually he goes dumpster diving and at a utility company. He goes dumpster diving at a utility company just after this postal rate change. And it goes on about what he finds, his experiments. And it's a really good book. I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun to read. I don't know how legal or illegal postal hacking would be, or ethical. He actually goes into ethics near the end of the book. I don't actually agree with his reasoning, or it's more of his justification of postal hacking. He basically says, "Hey, well, they screw us, so we can screw them, and that's not right. I mean, that's not ethical. That's, you know, rationalization." But regardless, it's a really good book, and it's very, very telling. And I actually want to try some of these things. I won't, just because we've got .govs going to the website. I'm definitely not going to be trying any postal hacking. But if you can, find that issue 2600 with postal hacking in it. Go get this book, How to Screw the Post Office. It's good just for the technology's sake. He just briefly goes over the technology. Doesn't go into any depth in the OCRs or anything like that, how they sort mail. They sort in a phenomenal, phenomenal amount of mail. I mean, so much, you know, much faster than any human could. But that part, especially, where he says, where'd it go? Oh, I lost it already.
That's a new record.
Yeah, well, I wasn't, again, being in the morning, I wasn't quite as prepared. Definitely wasn't as prepared as I should be. They plant a lie in your head, a lie in your mind, and then use fear to build a wall around the lie so that you believe it. Yeah, so, again, fear is being used even at the post office. Can you believe that? The post office. Through rain and sleet and smog and...
I believe it.
Yeah, me too, unfortunately.
And I get my rocks all faith in humanity, so nothing surprises me
now. Oh, what? Really? Now, see, I haven't. I have not lost faith in humanity. You know, at one time, and I'll admit this to everybody, I thought people were pretty much, well, they were sheep, they were dumb. You know, the general populace was just pretty stupid. You know what, but I'm given, I don't know if I've grown, I've matured, I don't know, maybe I found out there's so many, you know, there's immensely more people smarter than me. You know, I'm giving people the benefit of the doubt. You know, not everybody can be a PhD, you know, in computer science or electrical engineering, and I think again people are manipulated. People are subdued by the media, but I hope I'm not naive. I think people are generally good, you know, in their hearts. Boy, that sounds corny, but really, I honestly think people are generally good and generally not total idiots, total morons, you know. I hope that's a mature way to look at things. I'm trying to be. Yeah, don't lose all faith in humanity. I mean, if there is, you know, some apocalyptic war, you know, with North Korea bombing us and us bombing Iraq, you know, and something, well, no, I guess nothing good will come out of that. Oh, well. Whew! Where'd that come from? Okay, something else that happened at the meetings. I'm going to make a total 180 here. Kind of by myself, you know, I was like, I'm messing with my cell phone. And I was playing with a lot of phone cards and a lot of ways to optivert using AT&T Wireless. And I found a lot of interesting things. First of all, I've got like, you know, 10 different kinds of phone cards. I probably had about 6 different kinds of phone cards at the meetings. I'd try out a few. Of course, a lot don't allow calls to 800 numbers. Of course, if you call a regular number, like a subscriber line, of course, that'll hide your ANI. Using AT&T Wireless Double Info, of course, that costs money, but that does not, pardon me, it does pass your ANI. There's not an ANI fail when you opt for using Double Info AT&T Wireless, so I learned that. At the beginning of the show, you heard a message where on the landline, I opt-averted and called MCI 800-444-4444. And, of course, you go through using 1010-288 or 00 if AT&T is your carrier. You go through the AT&T Regional Center near you, and this one goes through 602, which is in Arizona, and it read back a number. I thought, usually, like, if you use PhoneHog or stuff and check out the logs that you can get using PhoneHog, you'll get all zeros. You get the area code and all zeros. Well, this read back 602, and you heard this at the beginning, 602-222-2222. Well, guess what? That's somebody's number in Arizona. That's a company's number. I think they answered, like, Injury Associates or something. I couldn't actually understand them. But don't go bugging these people, you know, these poor people who get their number read off from the AT&T Regional Center. But that's been some of the things I've been screwing with lately. Who do you have for your landline?
What about my landline?
Who's your carrier? Verizon? Is Verizon your carrier?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're happy with them?
Well, I have never used the landline, so, yeah.
Okay. You never?
No, actually, no. I use my cell phone, and the only people who ever really call me is the fact that my mom gave everyone she knew in the LA vicinity my phone number.
So you use cell phone?
Yeah. I try to even avoid answering the phone because there'll be some very odd people that are not dealers who apparently my mother gave them my number.
Your mom's giving out your number to a bunch of weirdos. That's nice.
Yeah.
Now, but you do have DSL, and I know you use IM a lot, right? How do you like your DSL?
DSL is very nice, actually. A lot more convenient. I wrote an article on it, actually.
I know, and it was hilarious. It's on the site. Everybody read it. It's so funny. Mary Chan's DSL Adventure. It is. You're a very good writer, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. I was laughing my ass off. Rex said the same thing. It's very, very funny. In fact, he said you should read it, and that would be actually really good. That would be something really good to put on the site, reading that article. It's funny. It's really funny. I know you use IM a lot, right?
Yeah.
Well, Condor, and he was pimping this big time at the meeting, he uses Jabber, and he was preaching up and down, it's SSL encrypted, which is very cool, actually. I just checked out Jabber for the first time. I knew what it was. I knew it was open source messaging protocol. I guess you can use it for more than just IM, but Jabber.org, I believe, you can get all the information. They've got all the clients there, everything you want to know about it. It's an XML protocol, and of course, it can be SSL encrypted. I'm going to jump on that. Everybody check out Jabber, try it out. Condor's got his Jabber. And your Jabber ID, your JID, looks like an email address, which is different, which I kind of dig. I mean, it's kind of it makes it memorable, I think. So you can check out Condor's at, I think he listed on the Stink Dog forums. So I'm going to be checking out Jabber as well. A lot of new stuff to check out. You know what? I think we're damn near the end. I got a skateboard for Christmas, man. Cause I used to skate back in the day. I mean, damn near 20 years ago, I used to skate. That was pretty good. So I got a skateboard. I want to go out, and it's a nice, beautiful, sunny day. I think we're done recording, and I'm gonna go skate, man. I love it.
That was horribly short. You know that?
What's that?
I said that was horribly short.
No, actually, we're about. It's only like 15 minutes short. I'll stick something in. I'll put music or something, or I'll save. I gotta save all that stuff. I don't care that it's short. Who cares? It's freaking Sunday morning, man. It's like early Sunday. Are you going to go back to bed?
I really don't know.
Really? Because I know this is like super early for you, isn't it? Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's super early for you, isn't it?
I said mm.
Oh, mm. Well, mm doesn't translate very well on radio, unfortunately. Do you have to work today?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, enjoy work as much as you can. And thank you. Thank you so much, really, for getting up at the butt crack of dawn. Well, it wasn't quite the, you know, butt ass crack of dawn early, and recording this show with me.
Oh, it's my problem.
Yeah, and listen to the shows. I know you got some. I know there's some hardcore Mary Chan fans out there. You know all the older shows. You know that I've taken off the website because I don't have the space on my hosting service. They're all archived now at archives.oldschoolfreak.com. I don't know if you knew that, Mary Chan, but for you and for everybody else, go check it out. I'm going to be putting some new stuff up there. In fact, I got the okay from Slipmo to mirror his stuff, so I've got one downloaded already. I'm going to download, I'm going to try to get all of them, actually, and get them on that site. So everybody check that out. Again, slipnet.org. The show's called In the Now. Very cool name. Thanks again, Mary Chan.
No problem. Thank you.
I can't thank you enough. And stay in touch. I want your anime. Oh, didn't you want to talk about... What was it? Expo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, almost forgot. Anime Expo. Okay, do it. That'll be the last thing.
Basically, I'm trying... What did I talk about?
That's okay. It's early in the morning. It's okay.
I don't know how to organize it correctly. And my thoughts, basically, I want to go to AX, and I don't know how to count on the show at all.
No. Because since you're here, you're a special guest. I mean, really, it is special to have you on. I really appreciate it. Two of the things you enjoy, and I do as well, and I know a lot of other people out there, is anime and gaming, right? And no one better to talk about it than you, you know? Got the sexy voice talking anime and gaming, and you want to talk about AX, which is what?
AX is the largest anime convention on the West Coast.
Yeah, AX means Anime Expo. And where's it held?
This year it's actually going to be held in Anaheim.
At the Anaheim Convention Center, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, and that is a cool, cool place. Actually, it's right across the street from Disneyland, isn't it?
I'm not too sure. It probably would be.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Won't be going this year, I'm afraid.
I'm pretty sure it is. And you are going to go. And did you want to... Well, I know not solicit people to go, but you're actually trying to hook up with people to go, right? You're trying to get a big group to go?
I'm not a huge group, but I don't know. I'm trying to find some people online who I already know.
Cool. Well, I know we have people who listen to the show that dig that kind of stuff. Actually, there's a couple of fans. Well, I don't want to say fans. A couple of people that that hang with us actually do the cosplay thing. Which, by the way, guys, chicks in cosplay rock, all right? They're freaking hot. They, like, dress all... They dress up in these scandally, you know... Oh, dude, it rocks.
I cosplay.
Do you really? Now, do you dress up? Dude, I have seen chicks. I can't believe it.
No, you know I cosplay. You saw the pictures I gave you.
Oh, yeah, you did send me pictures. That is so freaking cool. Again, I almost said it. I almost said chicks. Hot chicks in cosplay rock, dude. It's nice. It's really nice. And there's guys too, whatever. So go to some website and look at the cosplay pictures. I'm telling you, man, it'll make you want to go to an anime convention. So if anyone wants to go, contact Mary Chan. I know there's some fans out there, big time. And I know there's some fans of cosplay too, so go do it. Go check it out. And again, Mary Chan, thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
I'm Duel. This is Radio Freak America 45.